Seth Kush made an announcement to me today, and I will allow him to make that announcement to you.
Ooh, I wasn't prepared.
This announcement is like Billy Fusillo. It is huge. Seth Kush, take it away.
Well, I had an idea a few weeks before this promotion started about... I had an idea, as I normally do. It involves other shows, so I knew it was going to be complex and hard to put together, but I got the final confirmation today. Friday, May 6th, in the Performance Theater, Mike Calta will debate Drew Garabo with special guest moderator Charlie Belcher from Fox 13.
Wow.
What?
Science.
It'll start at 3 and end at who knows what time.
Oh, my God. This party has a question mark for an ending time?
You know it.
Wow.
You ready?
So Calta and I are going to debate.
Yeah, Calta signed off. He agreed to the terms. Charlie Belcher, he had to run it up the ladder. They all agreed. And I know you were in from the start.
Yes, I love this idea. I would like to keep it above board. I know that sometimes the mudslinging can get out of control.
Man, this is politics. Good luck with that.
Yeah. So I hope things can stay on the up and up.
Well, that'll be up to you and Calta.
Well, I pledge as your afternoon candidate for president of the universe, the radio universe, and in an interest in making radio great again, I pledge to run a clean campaign. I pledge to run an above-the-board campaign, and unless Michael Aloysius Calta would like to get down and wrestle in the mud, we will keep this clean, respectful, and dignified. But should my opponent, Mike Calta, decide that he wishes to sling mud, hurl invective, or spew venomous vitriol, I assure you that I, Drew Garabo, can spew filth with the filthiest of filth spewers. My campaign will stop at nothing in an interest to make radio great. And I look forward to hearing and taking the best of Mike Calta. Thank you.
I just want to put this out there. Now, if there's anybody from Drew's past where you think you can come back to haunt him with a special guest running, please email me, seth@thebonenonline.com.
And whose side are you on in this?
Unfortunately, I have to be on the Barry Drew side because I'll be organizing a lot of clips, and so will Nikki, that will bury you. I decided I was going to be on Team Calta once the clip started playing of you interlocking hands and fingers with my wife. I can't side with that.
But I thought you were my campaign manager.
Well, I am, but I have to be honest. I can't lie to the people, Garabo. Sometimes you disgust me, and I want to let the people know what they're getting into. I still support you.
We can be on your side, but still let the people know.
No, the people don't need to know. Part of being on my side is keeping my horrible truth.
Oh, well, man, shouldn't have held hands with
shielded.
It's about keeping your name in the news. Like, there's people that are on Donald Trump's team, and he'll say something weird, and then they'll leak it to the media because they're keeping him in the headlines. They're looking out for him, Garabo.
That's just what we're doing. Going 5 years back and such.
But don't you guys want me to win this thing and look good?
Oh, but you'll just explain yourself.
There is no explaining.
You're on the debate team.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, hotline.
Oh, no.
I hope it's Mike.
Who else would it be? Someone from my past looking to bury me? I'll just answer it cold. Yes, hello. It is Drew Garabo live, and you are live on our radio program live. Who is this?
China.
I see. It is my nemesis, Michael Calta.
Are we supposed to hokey it up and pretend we don't like each other?
No, I don't think I'm real good at that.
Yeah, do it.
I heard your live campaign ad this morning, and I was listening on my computer, and I thought, man, it's so good that we can campaign against each other and say pseudo mean things that are actually compliments.
Yeah, it was hard for me to fake not liking you. Everybody knows that we get along very well and that we're friends. But I also think that we are very different people. So when it comes to debating, I think we can do a healthy debate together and still remain friends at the same time. But I'm willing to risk our friendship for the people.
Friends yet not mentioned in your close circle of friends that you had in your conversation this morning, Michael.
You clearly weren't listening, Drew. It was friends not related to work. I said, outside of radio, I have no friends. And the only friend that I mentioned were Paul DePasquale and Bob Murray.
And Pete.
Well, Pete comes with a package. Pete's probably my girlfriend.
Yes, that is true. Very jealous of her. Yes, you're right that you did mention outside of radio, but I still kind of was hoping that there would be some sort of radio caveat where I would get mentioned, but it did not happen. But that will just add fuel to my fire as we engage in this wholehearted debate.
Now, is Belcher like up to, is he the one that's going to throw out the topics or is that going to be prepared? Like, I don't really know. All I know is I'm in and I'm in it to win it. I'll be there and put 100% into it and all the things that politicians say. I just don't really know what kind of questions are going to come at us.
Yeah, Belcher, I'm going to handle a lot of the stuff and I'm going to get with Charlie over the next couple of weeks because he has some ideas. And then if your team wants to prepare anything, we'll take anything. But yeah, Charlie, he's going to handle it all.
All right. Well, I'm absolutely in. And Charlie Belcher, I know, is a great unbiased host for these sort of things. So when are we doing this again?
May 6th. I think it's going to be in the Performance Theater.
It is in my calendar. I have booked it. No happy hour. I have to go back to the station. Winner gets to make out with Nikki.
Sounds fair. Sounds very fair. And we are lucky that Charlie is moderating this debate because you and I both. Now, granted, you are more famous than I, so he's naturally going to sway himself toward you because we know how Charlie loves famous people. But both of us having some amount of fame will make sure that it's a relatively even playing field. But we just have to worry that a Vincent Jackson, a Mike Allstott, or someone more famous than you and I will run in and divert Charlie's attention from his moderator duties.
Actually, I don't even think it has to be that caliber. It could be somebody like Ian Beckles.
Oh, wouldn't it be great if Beckles did a run-in while we did? No, it would not
that
be.
That would be wonderful. Actually, no. I'm going to get with Mike. I bet he's got some good ideas.
I can help arrange that, but I'm on your side.
See, exactly. I got a bunch of Benedict Arnolds and turncoats over here. Mike,
you're on his side?
They pretend to be on my side, but I think they're really on your side. I've got double agents.
I'm on Calta's side.
How dare you?
God, I just told you.
Well, now I gotta see if I can woo Galvin or Spanish over to my side.
Good luck with that.
All right.
Yeah, you can have Spanish. I volunteer that.
It kind of backfired in my face.
Mike,
there.
Are you okay with my endorsement for you on this debate?
Yeah, I need all the Drew votes I can get.
Oh, see, blatant racism here on Drew Garabo Live. Not
how is that racism? I know the plight of the Jewish people. My wife is a Jew, and I'm saying, as a non-Jew, I need all the Jew votes I can get. That's just strategy, my friend.
Yeah, and Drew, you can try to play up that you're half Jewish because you were at Easter last week.
No, we actually it was Passover celebration. I had matzah and brisket,
and
it
ham.
Was quiet down. Jeez.
Cadbury eggs.
Who asked you people? Anyway, Michael, I look forward to this. By the way, a good question from CMF at Davis. Does an LOD tattoo grant access to the Garabo Calta debate? I would say so.
If you want an audience, we can. I try not to do that stuff.
Only LOD tattoos. We've got Brit So Much. We've got CMF Davis. If you have an LOD tattoo, I believe, or a Mike Calta Show tattoo, you should be granted access to the debate in the performance.
Well, how do people get in that like Mike Calta?
Well, they have to get his name tattooed. Yes.
Can this candidate get a word in edgewise? Jesus Christ. I will have a tattoo guy in the lobby in case anybody wants to get a Mike Calta. Guarantee entry. And what was the other thing? She made me lose my train of thought. Oh, I know what I was going to say. I think we should have a live audience, and I think a portion of it should be treated like a town hall, where the people in the audience get to ask questions.
Yeah, that's fantastic. These are great ideas that we have. Everyone here is a visionary, except me. But I look forward to this. What do you say, May the 6th?
Yeah, May the 6th. We'll start at 3 o'clock.
Mike, thank you for joining us on the phone line. I wish you a good, clean fight, and good luck to you, sir.
One thing. I just want to say I thoroughly enjoyed your rap. I think you were too hard on yourself.
Thank you.
I thought it was excellent. And I added pressure that Jay-Z is in town. Probably listening to the show.
Probably. And probably.
You know that Jay-Z is here?
Well, he was here yesterday, but then he flew out for the Lakers game last night to watch Kobe. Probably turned around and flew right back because Beyonce was with me all night last night. And he needs her back.
Right. That's what bitches with jets do. They fly wherever the hell they want to go.
Sure
so,
do.
Okay. Well, I'm looking forward to our debate. I will put this on the table right now. I cannot rap, so don't expect that from me.
Well, now I know what to pull out in case I am losing, which I will be. So thank you, Michael. Can you blow a conch?
No, he cannot.
Uh-uh.
He tried. He failed.
Conch, can you blow a conch?
But no, but I will bring my bird, my cock with me.
Macaque. Macaque. I heard you
say. That's what I said, right?
You said macaque. Well, you said something different.
I'm in Western Chapel. I got a bad signal.
All right. Well, listen, stop by and see Spanish. And thank you very much for joining us, Michael. I look forward to a good, clean fight. And enjoy your radio program tomorrow morning. I know I will be.
Goodbye and shalom to all my Jewish listeners. Goodbye.
Thank you.
L'chaim.
He's making radio great again.
What Nikki couldn't believe when I told her, I think this is going to go 2 hours, but now I think this is going to go from 3 to 6.
Yeah, which is good because you guys aren't going to want to do a show after 5.
That's true. Do you think Spanish is there right now?
He is. He's there.
Spanish, you there right now?
Yes, I am.
Hey. Oh, damn it. He's not here. Spanish?
Oh, I hate when you do that. Yes. Hello?
I thought you said he was here right now.
When you get Spanish
Nikki,
on,
can you hear me?
When you get Spanish on, can you ask him who he's going to vote for?
I will as soon as I can hear him. Can you text
Seth,
him to
stop
see if
talking.
He can pick
I know.
Yeah,
Seth,
let me text him.
Seth,
sure, thank you. Appreciate
you guys.
That.
Seth, you ruined it. You ruined the whole thing. Yeah, laugh it up. Laugh it up, jokesters.
I got nothing.
All right, I'm at the Metro.
I just texted him.
Thank you. Hope he picks up because this is dead air and it's horrible.
I'm ready, Nikki, if you can hear me. Oh, you can because you just kind of responded a little bit with your breath.
Oh, hey, Spanish, what's going on?
Oh, hey, guys.
No,
how you
just
doing?
Kidding. I still can't hear you.
Oh, I hate
he
you.
He said I'm daddy.
He said I'm daddy? Did you tell
I
her
am daddy.
You tell her you were daddy?
I did. It worked. It worked, though.
Your clever plan worked. Anyway, you're now at the Metro PCS out there in Wesley Chapel, yes?
Yes, I am, and we are going to be out here until 6, still giving away a pair of tickets to the UFC fight this Saturday every 10 minutes.
Hello?
Oh, my God. Don't do this to me.
Tell us about some of those great deals that they've got out there at the Metro PCS Spanish.
Oh, my God. The new store opened. They got 20% off all kinds of accessories valued up to $100. This offer expires on June 30th, and they just opened up a new location in Land O'Lakes Boulevard off of 7846 Land O'Lakes Boulevard. So you can check them out there. And Anthony Rumble Johnson is here signing autographs as well.
Man, get me one of those autographs from Anthony Rumble Johnson,
I
would
will.
You?
I definitely will.
Thank you. All right. Well, thanks for joining us. It's always good to hear from you, and I look forward to seeing you soon. How pliable are you? You heard Calta give you up and say that I could
I
have you on my team.
I'm in.
I would gladly trade a Nikki and a Seth for your endorsement.
I endorse Drew Garabo, and I endorse this message, I think. That's what I'm supposed to say, right?
This is important to me because no one on this station knows as much dirt on me as Spanish. So getting him over on my side.
Are you sure about that?
Oh, I'm sure.
Really?
Oh, I'm very sure.
Wow.
Very important that you're on my side here.
I would never give you up, Drew. You are the man of my heart, and I love you.
All right. All of that is on tape.
Thanks, Spanish. I'll talk to you soon.
Have a good one.
Bye.
Calta's probably going to kick him off the show now for endorsing you.
I'm okay with that.
Hello, here we go again. This is the Drew Garabo Live Hidden Track of the Day. Don't tell any of your stupid friends. Shh.
These interviews come in like crazy, but this one came across my desk a couple of weeks ago, and I say came across my desk as if it wasn't just an email. It was just an email, and they said, how'd you like to have the suit man on? And I said, well, you know, I wasn't the biggest fan of Seinfeld. I watched the first 2 seasons.
Oh, I thought you were really into it.
No, I just watched like the first 2 or 3 seasons. And then I think around the episode about masturbation, the Destiny, whatever.
Master of your own domain.
That was it. I thought that was very funny. Was that the same one where there was a girl with the name of Mulva?
I think. I don't know, but
or
that
Dolores.
Was definitely an episode.
Around those episodes, I just lost interest in the show. No doubt that it's one of the funniest sitcoms ever to be on TV.
I've seen every episode, but I don't remember ever sitting down specifically to watch an episode.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And this was in the days of the VCR, so if you missed one, you had to go through, you know.
I think I saw most of them in reruns.
Probably because the show is very big in syndication. So I have bad respect for Seinfeld as a comedian, as a performer, and I'll probably go back and watch the show again. Does it hold up, you think?
Yeah.
All right. I'll probably go back and watch it because the Soup Man, he was known as the Soup Nazi in 1995.
But I didn't know he actually made soup.
Neither did I. But when I was up in New York a couple of weeks ago, I saw his restaurant, and it said, here he is, the Soup Man. He has a truck, the soup truck, and then right in Midtown Manhattan, there's the Soup Man restaurant. And I thought, man, I wonder if that's the no soup for you guy from Seinfeld. And sure enough, here we go. He's going to be in our studio in a matter of minutes because he's doing a soup tasting at the Publix at the Shops of Trinity Lakes on 54 in Odessa on the 16th, which by my math is 2 days from now.
Oh, man, I love the soup at Publix.
The soup at Publix is top notch.
Yeah.
And he has chicken noodle, chicken gumbo, lobster bisque, which is one of my favorite soups, and crab and corn chowder. Now, who doesn't love some soup? Everybody loves soup.
I love a good soup. I do a soup and a salad for lunch a lot of days during the week.
Oh, look at that. The cup says no soup for you, but you actually have some soup, which is excellent. So, you know, when we had the opportunity to have the soup man in, I thought, well, this is just kismet the way this all worked out, because there I was in Manhattan a few short weeks ago, you know, strolling through Midtown West, and I saw the restaurant itself, Soup Man. Then I saw the soup truck that said Soup Man, and I had no idea that mere weeks later, I would be back here in Tampa, Florida, and boom, Soup Man would be in my studio. So everything has come together just perfectly. Again, he will be at the Publix at the Shops of Trinity Lakes on State Road 54 in Odessa on April 16th from 11 a.m. until 5 p.m., featuring chicken noodle, chicken gumbo, lobster bisque, and crab and corn chowder. Ladies and gentlemen, the spokesman for the original Soup Man, Mr. Larry Thomas. Larry, thank you for being here, sir.
Hey, my pleasure.
Would you like to be referred to as Soup Man, as Mr. Thomas, as Larry?
Oh, that's too many choices.
I'm sorry.
Now you're giving me an identity crisis. I don't know who I am anymore.
Soup Man. You're Soup Man. No cape, just a kitchen, kitchen tunic.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
I just want to know if it's okay for me to try my soup.
Yeah, go ahead.
I don't want him to take it from me.
No soup for you.
Oh, damn. You got Soup Man.
Go ahead,
oh,
man.
Thank you.
Eat that soup.
Now, what I love about your story, Soup Man, is that you worked for 15 freaking years before you got this big break.
Yes.
For an actor to have that kind of tenacity to do bit parts, if you will, to do movies that maybe flew just a skosh under the radar of the mainstream America.
That's putting it mildly.
Thank you. You know, to do that for 14 years and then all of a sudden get the break of a lifetime that actors dream about, what kept you going during those lean years, obviously besides your delicious soup?
Sheer stubbornness, I think. There were so many times when, you know, a casting director chased me out of her office throwing a bran muffin at me that I'd go like, this is so undignified. I just wanted to be an actor. A lot of awful things, you know, dignity stealing, crushing things happen to poor out of work actors.
Yeah, sure.
And what keeps us going is sort of a mystery. You know, I've always said to people like if I hadn't spent 24/7 thinking about women, I'm sure I would have like cured cancer by now or something like that.
I'm with you.
With all that in mind, I have never taken the crap from a woman that I've taken from my acting career.
Oh, man,
so
I bet.
That's just something that gives you a sort of a metaphor to think about. But sometimes it was horrible. Sometimes it was a lot of fun. You know, all the beg, borrow, and steal theater days were great.
Mm-hmm.
But I was basically under threat of being thrown out of my acting class by my acting teacher when I went on that audition. So
no kidding.
You can imagine.
So you get the chance to audition for a show like Seinfeld. When you auditioned, was it the gigantic show that we all know?
It was season 7.
Right.
So they were already the hottest show on TV. They were, you know, already had their place. And I was a huge fan. I was a huge fan since season 3. I saw the parking garage episode.
Great episode.
Hooked me. And the original audition was just in an office for the casting assistant, but then I did get the call back, and I had to walk into a room, and luckily for me, the only face I recognized was Jerry.
Sure.
You know, and it was, you'd think it would make you nervous, but even though we know him as this hugely powerful guy in the entertainment business,
right,
the sight of his face does not make you nervous.
No.
It just doesn't.
Kind of puts you at ease a little bit.
And he goes, when you walk into the room, he goes, hey. So, you know what I mean? So
yeah.
I didn't feel that nervous in that room.
When you did the audition, did you walk out of there like, killed it, this is it for me, I nailed it?
I definitely killed it. To this day, after like 50 more guest spots after that, I have never done an audition where a producer or whatever of the show laughed as much as Jerry laughed.
Oh, great.
You know, if I cleared my throat, he was cackling.
Right.
I just hit on the, he didn't see the part the way I played it at first. And I must have hit on something that just cracked him up. To me, it made perfect sense. But he did ask me to do it again. There were 6 scenes to read. He asked me to do it again, and he goes, "You know, I don't understand why he's so mean. I mean, it was funny.
Yeah.
But can you do it again and like be nicer at some points?" And he'd made this like hills and valleys motion with his hand, which I've hated ever since Theater 101. Because it means that you gotta do something technical with
right.
it, and that's not what I like to do anyway. So I did it again that way. I don't think he laughed. Even at No Soup for You.
Right.
And so in 1 minute, like, I thought I nailed it because he laughed so hard. But then before I could have that victory, he made me do it his way, and he didn't laugh at all. So it was totally taken away. And I walked out of the room thinking, well, there that one. You know, it was that one.
Oh, man.
And but to Jerry's credit, and this explains the common question I get asked, what was it like to work with Jerry? To Jerry's credit, they hired me.
Right.
It was that same day.
Yeah.
I showed up at Soundstage 9, and he made a beeline for me as soon as I walked in the door. And he goes, "You know what, man? Forget about the direction I gave you. Just do what you did when you walked in. You know, the meaner, the funnier, I guess."
Wow.
And ever since that moment, you know, I've known him to be just an egoless person at work. I mean, I don't know him at home.
Right.
You know, maybe he walks in the house and he goes like, "Do you know who I am? Do you kids know who I am?"
But I doubt it.
But working with him, there's like no power, ego, or anything there.
That's fantastic. We have the original Soup Man in the studio with us. His Twitter is @RealSoupNazi. OriginalSoupMan.com is the website. His real name is Larry Thomas. Yes, SBK, a question for Soup Man.
What kind of soup is this?
That
is delicious.
That is the lobster bisque.
Oh, man.
It's definitely our flagship soup on 55th Street and 8th Avenue there. There are people that not only come to the soup stand for lunch every day from their jobs, but that eat the lobster bisque every day.
Oh, yeah.
Even though we've got, on any given day, 9 varieties of the, 100 that Al has recipes for, the lobster bisque is the biggest seller.
Sure.
And that's what we brought for you guys to taste.
Big chunks of lobster in there. That's what makes a lobster bisque right there. Sometimes you get a lobster bisque and you're like, this is more bisque than lobster.
Well, you
it's all bisque.
Inside Edition just did a huge expose on fake lobster in restaurants. They found, first of all, that 38% of restaurants that say lobster soup, lobster bisque, lobster roll, whatever, it's not lobster. Mm. It's langostino. It's fake lobster formed from like the imitation crab. And they, unbeknownst to us, they came by the 55th Street store and got some lobster bisque and took it to a lab and found that it's absolutely real chunks of North Atlantic lobster. So they came to the soup stand and did a big story about us, which was
cool. Yeah. I spoke earlier of Kismet. It's funny. I was staying in New York just a couple of weeks ago. I took my son, who's 12, because he's now at an age where he can appreciate good food. And we just happened to be staying at the District Hotel, which is off 40th between 8th and 9th. Mm-hmm. So as we're walking through Midtown Manhattan, I saw your restaurant. You're right there on 58th and 8th. And I'm like, there's Soup Man. And now a couple of weeks later, the world has brought you to our studio.
Yeah.
And I welcome you.
Well, I'm actually doing what we're trying to do with the soup. We are trying to get the soup to everybody in the country that, you know, so not just New Yorkers and tourists can enjoy it. So we have it in these Tetra cartons.
Great.
And of course we have the lobster bisque is one of them.
Sure.
We have actually 8 varieties now. We had 6. We got 2 brand new ones. We're adding shrimp bisque and turkey stew. We have jambalaya. We have chicken gumbo and chicken noodle. We have crab corn chowder, lobster bisque, of course. And we have, for those people with the special diets, we've got an all-natural gluten-free lentil.
Fantastic.
And I know vegans don't know that food is supposed to taste good, but this really tastes good. So I urge all vegans to get our lentil soup, and you'll go like, "Well, that's something new. That's flavor.
Food that has flavor in it. What a concept."
Yeah.
The Soup Man will be doing a tasting at the Publix at the Shops of Trinity Lakes on State Road 54 in Odessa, April 16th from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. Seth Kush.
How often are you flipping through the channels and you catch your episode when you were on Seinfeld?
Well, once in a while it's mine, but fairly often I am flipping through the channels and I see an episode of Seinfeld, and I'm still that kind of fan that will not move on.
Right.
That's the stop. A rerun of Seinfeld is the stopping point. You know, you put down the remote because you know you're going to laugh, and chances are you're not going to find anything better.
Sure. So,
but my episode is the only one I don't like to sit through.
Oh, what the?
And it's mostly it's one thing being an objective watching yourself, but to me, it's not me anymore anyway. It's just some young guy with a lot of hair. But the thing about my episode is I've done hundreds and hundreds of appearances of every shape, form, size, whatever through the years. And almost they always want to show that episode in the background.
Right.
So it's like this. Like your mother's voice in your ear, you know, to me now. So
sure. How did your life change when you went on the show? Did you notice immediately as you were, say, strolling through the streets of Midtown Manhattan after appearing or wherever you were that people were going, oh, my God, there's the suit guy?
Slowly but surely. It's been a very funny 20 years because it started happening a little bit.
Right.
You know, and as an actor... Not only an actor, but a Jewish actor. Mm. You know, I'm always looking for the bottom to drop out of anything, you know. And so I would always say to myself, yeah, well, that's going to last a short time. That's going to last a short time. And what I noticed was, like, each year that went by, there was more talk about the soup Nazi and about
right.
the character and about Seinfeld. And then, you know, Seinfeld went off the air. And then I went, okay, well, that's it for that. I got to, you know, find something else big. And it just got bigger and bigger, and the reruns got bigger and bigger. And as the DVDs got released, it got bigger and bigger. And today, last year, Hulu bought all 180 episodes for $160 million.
Jeez.
Jerry, if you're out there, I need a loan.
Holla.
So now the streaming generation is getting into it. So it's not uncommon for a 13-year-old kid and his friends to come up to me and go, oh, man, you're the soup Nazi. That's so cool. You know, we love Seinfeld. And I go, don't you watch the show and go, you know, like, Google it, idiot. Just use your cell phone.
We have the soup man in the studio with us. Yes, Seth.
Were you a fan of the Seinfeld finale?
I, as a fan, am the yes, I was.
Good.
There's almost a split 50-50, and I have a theory for that.
Okay.
I recognized that the four of them, Jerry, George, Elaine, and Kramer, were like the worst people ever in the world. They were the shallowest.
Right.
You know, they had
self-absorbed, narcissistic.
Narcissistic.
Yep.
They were like, you know, a bunch of Donald Trumps all rolled into each one, but they would always get away with it in the end. Well, not George. Sometimes he would be forced to suffer. But in the end, I think there are a lot of people that liked them but didn't want to admit that they were really bad people because that would make... Because I think... You know what I think we liked about them? I think the bad person in all of
sure.
us liked the fact that they were so unabashed and they're just... Bad.
No shame in their game.
Yeah, just trying to break up a couple, a married couple, so that they could date them, you
right.
know, and whatever that was. So I think like half the people that understand that liked the finale, and then the other half didn't want to see them go to jail because they're like, well, they were such great people. I love them.
Why? Right.
That's just my theory.
I like your theory. The Soup Man will be appearing at the Publix in Trinity on State Road 54, actually in Odessa. That'll be this Saturday from 11 a.m. till 5 p.m. If you do use the phrase, no soup for you in your downtime, please bring $5 for the Soup Man.
He'll
collect royalties on site.
Yes.
You can try his delicious soup. The lobster bisque is phenomenal. I tried the jambalaya last night. The chicken gumbo is great. Chicken noodle, crab and corn chowder as well.
You took all those boxes home, didn't
you? You're darn right I did.
You didn't share it all.
No, swag. I got a growing 12-year-old boy. I got to take that swag. Wag home and feed him full of soup. Listen, Soup Man, thank you so much for being here and spreading your soup with the world. We appreciated the time very much.
I just want to plug one more thing.
Plug
it. Soup Man is a public company.
Okay.
And if you're interested in investing in soup or me, it's SOUP.
All right. SOUP. It's traded as SOUP.
Traded as SOUP.
I can't believe someone else didn't snatch that up before you. Well done, young man. Well, thank you again for being here. We appreciate it. Everybody check him out at the Publix, and he's on Twitter. And you can check out soupman.com. Try his delicious soups.